We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. This is Focus. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producer for this program, Harriet Williamson. Kyle Mabry is at the controls this morning. This morning, in this part of the show, we'll be talking about the natural beauty of the state of Illinois and try to talk about some of the unique features of the Illinois environment, and maybe also have some advice for you on some choice spots for hikes. And our guests this morning are Susan Post and Mike Jeffords. Susan is the author of the book Hiking Illinois, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And they both have contributed to a book called Illinois Wilds, which looks at the natural habitats of Illinois and has some very nice photographs that the both of them have done. Before we do that, we would like to also to remind people that this is our autumn fundraising effort, and we're raising the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy. We try to keep these as short as possible so that we can concentrate on doing the programs. But we do find that from time to time, it's a good thing to sit here in front of the microphones and remind people who are listening just how important listener support is. Heather Miller is with us, too, in the studio, and we want to right here say that we're very excited because we have been working on a challenge this morning.
Yes,
we have another hour. We're doing really well, but we want to maintain that pace.
Oh, we want to meet the challenge. It would be great to do so before noon. It'd be great to go over. I'm all about exceeding goals here. But right now we have a challenge to get 15 calls before 12 noon. And when we do, a very, very supportive and wonderful couple here in Champaign will give another $1,000 toward our fundraising goals here at WILL. And I'm very pleased to say we've had 12 calls and web pledges of support this morning.
Okay. So people can help us stay on track here, maintain this challenge, and then the bigger challenge of keeping the station strong, real easy. They can call
217-244-9455.
Or they can go online
to willpledge.org.
All right. And it's very, very important because 40% of the money that keeps the station going comes from listeners. And as I think I said earlier in the show, that's really the only source of funding that we can rely on to grow. That's where the growth is. It's not in government support. It's in listener support. And we like that because we would much rather be accountable to listeners than to the Congress or to the Illinois legislature. You're the folks we're trying to serve. And we like to know what you think of the work that we do. And one of the ways that you can show your support is you know, not just morally by saying, hey, great job, guys. No, we also could use a few dollars, because that helps to pay for the programming. So once again, 244-9455, willpledge.org, and we'll talk again a little bit later.
Okay.
Thanks. We also want to say welcome to our two guests for this morning, Mike Jeffords and Susan Post. Mike Jeffords is a retired education outreach director for the Illinois Natural History Survey. He's an entomologist. He's a scientist who studies insects, and he's also a freelance photographer and writer and educator who is very much interested in the issue of biodiversity. He is one of the authors of the book Illinois Wilds, which is a book that looks at the natural habitats of Illinois. Susan Post is a retired research scientist at the Illinois Natural History Survey. She's also a photographer and a freelance writer and is also the staff writer for the Illinois Steward Alliance. She is one of the authors of the book, Illinois Wilds. She contributed both text and photos. And I want to mention she is author of the book Hiking Illinois, which is now out in its second edition. Human Kinetics is the publisher. And this would be a great resource for folks who's saying, okay, I want to get out there.
Right.
I want to take some good walks, and I'm interested in sampling the different kinds of environment. And this is a place that you can go to get some suggestions on places to go.
right. It is. And the way the book is divided, it's divided into three sections, north, central, and south. And I try to give people an idea of some of the different habitats that they could see in Illinois. So it's not, you know, some of the things people will be familiar with, but, you know, there's forested areas along the Mississippi. One of the places I have, it's a very short hike, but it's a fen. How many people get to go to a fen, which is a place where the groundwater is basic, and you have some really unique plants there? So I'm also trying to get the people not only to hike, but also to explore and appreciate Illinois.
Well, and one, and I guess that's what I really enjoyed looking at the Illinois Wilds book is that you get an appreciation for the kind of environmental diversity that we have in Illinois. That we have, you know, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, you're used to one kind of landscape.
Oh yeah.
Well, but there's all, but there are many different kinds of landscapes, and you know, maybe it might surprise people, actually, the different kinds of things you can see.
So the way we kind of sell this is the world is divided up into biomes. You know, there's the rainforest and the coral reefs and the African savanna, and the North America is divided into biomes, and Illinois is divided into biomes also. We don't call them biomes, but we call them natural divisions, and there's 14 of them, and they're all different, and they're based on topography, soil type, climate, distribution of native plants and animals. For instance, Galena has the coldest and driest climate. Caro has the warmest and wettest, and there's sometimes 5 to 6 weeks difference in a growing season between those 2 points in the same state. So that leads to very, very different habitats.
Well, and I think you make the point in the book. I think that you really you have to remind people how big Illinois is and how far it is from north to south and also east to west. I mean, it's really
440 miles north to south and almost 200 miles east to west at its widest point. So it's a big chunk of land in the middle of a big chunk of continental U.S., so it has very great diversity of habitats. Yeah.
Yesterday on the show, I spent a little time talking with Dan McCollum about a book that he's just done that's about history of Champaign County. Mm-hmm. And so we started out talking a little bit about the people who are generally recognized as being the first European settlers to come and settle Champaign County. And this was the Sadoras family, and you know, that's a locally known place name. And we talked a little bit about what it would have been like when they got here. And I think that I also, said something about, well, can you go someplace now in the state of Illinois to get a feeling for what those folks would have seen when they got here for the first time? What sort of prairie is there really left?
One of the places I like to tell people to go is Goose Lake Prairie. It's up in Grundy County near Morris. And in good years, when you walk their prairie paths, it's the 7 to 10 feet of grasses and composites, and it's just walking through a corridor. And that area still has a lot of the diversity. You can still see a lot of butterflies, a lot of birds. Another nice prairie, we call it a restoration, would be Nachusa Grasslands up in Lee County. Is that like a knob and knuckle topography? So it's a lot of rolling and hummocky areas. And you can stand somewhere there and not really see nothing but this rolling topography. Another nice place would be some of the sand prairie areas in Mason County. Henry Allen Gleason Nature Preserve, you can stand on top of an old dune there. You can see it's a more of a dry prairie, so you've got opuntia, you've got little bluestem. And there you can actually not find telephone wires. So you just have this big expanse. Yeah.
Locally, Iroquois County Conservation Area, which is about an hour north of here, is a wet kind of sand prairie, scrub oak, savanna type of habitat. And it's unique. And it probably mimics Champaign County as well as anything, because Champaign County was a wet prairie. And if you fly over Champaign County after a heavy rain, you can see it. It comes back. You know, we call it, the low spots in cornfields now. But it was basically, Champaign County was 95% prairie, and about 60% of that was wet prairie. So it was very wet. So it's not a surprise here when we have a heavy rain that we revert to that very quickly.
Yeah. It doesn't say in the book I don't know if I'm remembering this right, that here in this part of the country, it's one of the lowest spots in the is it one of the lowest spots in the central part of the country?
No, and not really. But Illinois is about 600 to 670 feet above sea level. And because of the glaciation, the Wisconsin glaciation, which basically left about 12,000 years ago, this part of Illinois is topographically challenged, shall we say. It's flat. what that means is that the streams haven't had enough time to entrench, to build big valleys, and the glaciers filled up the valleys that were here. So it's basically the drainage here is really, really poor. Uh-huh. It was historically very poor. And it, you know, we've entrenched the streams and we've, you know, put tiles and things to help promote agriculture. But basically this was very wet. Yeah.
I want to give the phone number here because we always invite people into the conversation. And so maybe people who are listening have questions about the Illinois environment. You had questions about places to go to walk. Maybe also there is some place that you have gone that you think is just this really wonderful here in the state of Illinois, and you'd like to call in and tell us about it and recommend it. And I think that's be particularly great for people who are here in Champaign County where we are, if it would be someplace, you know, relatively close, mm-hmm. someplace that maybe wouldn't be more than about an hour or so or maybe 2 hour and a half, 2 hours from here, so that if you wanted to one day, you could just hop in the car and say, let's go.
That'd be good.
And go. So any and all of that, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and email will-talk@illinois.edu. That was particularly, I guess, the thing that you always hear, that I always hear these stories about, places where there is the grass is so tall that somebody riding on a horse mm-hmm. could get lost.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, that's what I want to see, is if it's actually possible to have something like that experience, get that sort of feeling for what it would be like. And, you know, you read these stories about how people literally could get lost
mm-hmm.
because the grass was so tall and it was just everywhere.
Well, like I said, for the prairies, Goose Lake, but again, you probably won't get lost because there is a mown path. I can't think of any places.
I'm looking to get lost.
Well, then I'd go to Southern Illinois. No, there's a lot of horse trails.
After a wet spring and a wet summer, you can go to Goose Lake in the fall, and the grass will be 8 to 10 feet. If you get around the wet areas or the potholes and you get yeah. other species of grass like cord grass, which gets a little bit taller, you can get that sense. And there are places in Goose Lake where there are no trails that you can go. And, yes, you can get lost. Right. The only thing on the horizon might be a power line, but nothing else.
Well, yeah, there's that nuclear plant.
Yeah.
That nuclear plant.
Nuclear.
This something that I guess that I also learned from looking particularly the book Illinois Wilds is that there are these different kinds of prairie.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not, I guess I think about, okay, prairie, that means that there's all this tall grass, but there are a lot of different kinds of prairie.
Yeah, well, there's actually 93 different kinds of habitats in Illinois, and you got prairie forest wetlands. You divide that by three, you end up with a lot of different variety and a different variation. So, and here we had mesic prairie, which is moist. We had wet mm-hmm. prairie. Iroquois County, you have dry prairie. You have wet sand prairie. You have shrub prairie. You have sand prairie. You have gray prairies, which grows on clay. You have dolomite prairies, you have hill prairies, and all of those you can see. Probably the rarest right now is dolomite because uh-huh. it's up in the Chicago region. But
and all of these things have particular kinds of plants, unique sort of features
yeah,
that you're
have,
only
going to
see.
They have their own unique
that.
Plants, and they have their own unique distribution of plants, but they also share species, and the proportion will change as mm-hmm. as you're in different habitats. Mm-hmm.
Well, how are we doing on trying to preserve and hold on to what we've got? Because we certainly have lost an awful lot, and there's no original prairie left, is there?
There's about 2,500 acres of original mm-hmm. prairie that's pretty much undisturbed, and those are the templates for restoration that we use. There's a wonderful prairie up in Loda called Pine Ridge Cemetery, which is 5 acres, which is original. It has its component of plants. There's 1 acre in Champaign County of prairie, or a couple of maybe a few acres, but it's called the Tomlinson Cemetery Prairie. And it's tough to get to because it's surrounded by private property. So originally, there's a little bit. Originally, Illinois was 21 million acres of prairie. So if you add up corn and soybeans and wheat, you get about 21 million acres. So you can see where it went. You know, the best soil in the world was under it.
Yeah.
But historically, the most common habitat in Illinois was tall grass prairie. Now in the nature preserve system, the rarest habitat, the rarest preserves of tall grass prairie because they've all been had other uses.
Hmm. Are there some particular places that are just favorite places of yours to go?
Probably Michael and my favorite place, we love to head to southern Illinois to the Cache wetlands. I mean, the Cache, it's in the far south. Here you see cypress, water tupelo. I mean, it's the swamps. And there's some fabulous trails there. They have a new visitor center, the Henry Barkhausen Wetlands Center, which is near Vienna. That's probably the closest town people might be.
Cyprus.
Well, it's Cyprus, but who knows where Cyprus is. So, but they have some wonderful trails. It's just a favorite place of ours.
Yeah. Well, that, again, I guess it reinforces this idea that Illinois is a big place and that it's really different from north to south. And really, southern Illinois is in the south.
Right.
We don't think about it that way, but it is.
Right. We have organisms that you wouldn't think of. You know, here you have the green tree frog, you have copper iris, and again, the cypress, the water tupelo, cottonmouth. So these are some of the things you'd find
there. Southern Illinois is the same latitude as southern Virginia. Mm. And northern Illinois is the same latitude as Boston. So you don't think of Boston, Massachusetts, and Virginia as being anywhere remotely the same. And yet in Illinois, they're all in the same state.
Yeah. Well, we have a certainly opportunity here for people to call in. Maybe you have some questions about the Illinois and the Illinois environment, or you have some thoughts about hiking Illinois. Maybe you're looking for a particular kind of experience. And I'm sure that between our two guests, Susan and Michael, would be able to suggest something. Or maybe you also just would want to say, hey, I've been to this particular place and it was just wonderful and I would like to tell other people about it. Any and all of that. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455 and email will-talk@illinois.edu. How long did it take you to put Hiking Illinois together?
I had a deadline of not a very generous one, 9 months to hike and write and get it all turned in.
So in all these 107-day hikes, you actually walked within that 9-month period that you actually walked all those?
Oh, well, yeah.
she says,
why wouldn't you? And that's what several people have commented on the book because they said, it's like you've actually been here. And I said, yes, I actually have hiked all these trails. And when I do talks about writing to people, I have this thing I call the infomercial for the 3x5 notebook because I'm always, no matter what season, whenever we go, I'm always taking notes about places so that when I did actually have the assignment to write the book, I had notes from other seasons, just not the one that I was actually hiking in.
We actually did 550 miles in 3.5 months, averaging, you know, do 40, 50, 60 miles on a weekend.
And the range of difficulty here for people who, there might be people who would say, well, that sounds like a good idea to me, but I've not done this before. So you can find hikes that would be challenging even for people that were experienced, but also hikes that if you would just like to take a nice walk,
right.
You got that too.
Right. In the book, they're rated by boots, one boot being, you know, it's on level ground, probably a nice, you know, walkway path, up to 5 boots, which, you know, that might be a little strenuous. And you have to remember, Illinois is relatively flat, but there are a couple hill prairie hikes. And one of the things people have mentioned in my book is, well, you know, this one, I didn't think it was quite that strenuous. And I'm thinking, I used my mother as sort of my template. My mom does go to some fitness classes, but, you know, it's just the average person trying to go out and do a hike.
Yeah. Well, and I think some people, you know, well, it sort of all depends on what your definition of strenuous is. I think there are some places where whether you're hiking, what you're going to be doing is, in effect, it's like going up and down stairs a lot.
Right.
And, you know, that might be, you know, depending on who you are, that might be a little hard on your knees or your hips or you know, whatever. And some other people would say, hey, well, you know, no problem with that. So you got to kind of think about what your own speed is.
Right. Well, we've been running for many, many years. And so, you know, we you know, that's why it was somewhat hard to give the ranking a boot. So that's why I used my mom.
Well, there's some in southern Illinois, for instance, Bellsmith Springs has a really pretty strenuous, it's about 4 miles, but it's up and down and through valleys and We actually got lost on the first time we tried to do it. So,
well, full Till Prairie. I mean, it's straight. You're walking straight up a hill. I mean, that's pretty hard.
No pesky switchbacks. It's just.
And Little Grand Canyon in southern Illinois, you have to be careful because you're walking on steps carved out of slick sandstone down a piece of a waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
So there are opportunities for slipping.
Yeah, okay. Well, we have a caller here, somebody in Urbana. Let's talk with them. Line number one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, darn it. I was hoping to take my sisters to the Little Grand Canyon, but I don't know. You're talking about just exactly what my question is. We grew up near Chicago in the 50s, 60s, and didn't do a whole lot of traveling. And now I'm living in central Illinois, and I like it here, but these guys moved over to Wyoming and Colorado, and I mean, it's exhausting listening to them extol the beautiful and wonderful, and why in the world would anybody live in the Middle West? So anyway, we're going to have our sister trip is coming to Illinois next year. And
I would suggest do Little Grand Canyon, but I would do it backwards. It's easier to climb up those steps than it is to go down them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I would not do it.
Not
in the winter and not early spring, because that's the slippiest part.
Probably in the summer or the fall, like now.
Oh, that Little Grand Canyon would be nice now.
Nah, yeah,
Bellsmith Springs, which is also down there, is another great hike. And there's just a lot to do, but if you follow the trail markers, mm-hmm. you should have no problem. And it's just another piece of Illinois that people wouldn't even consider that's
yeah,
Illinois.
Yeah, there's a natural arch there, and you're hiking along this beautiful stream.
See, these guys are in their 70s, and one has a new knee, and this, that, and the other, so we have to be a little... But my other concern was, I was thinking, gee, wouldn't it be nice to jump on the Amtrak and just drive up and down Illinois? Are there places that are kind of near where Effingham and that sort of thing, where we can rent a car and then maybe get over there?
That I don't know.
The Effingham area, right now, if you want to see fall color in Illinois, driving the back roads south and southwest of Effingham is probably some of the best fall color in Illinois. And there's a really nice new nature center called Ballard Nature Center, which has several hundred acres of restoration, and that's a really nice destination. Over in by Charleston, there's...
Fox Ridge State Park,
which is some strenuous hiking because it's pretty much up and down through ravines.
They made steps,
so it made it a lot safer. So there's a lot of up and downs.
I'll have to go back there. I've been to that one, and I'll have to go back there and see.
What's the other one? Lincoln Trail State Park has some nice hiking trails in it, which aren't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you've got me a whole bunch of ideas. I'm going to get your books and read them over this winter so I can make a nice trip.
Oh yeah, we could impress them. I spent a lot of time out west, and we can impress. Those places in Illinois that are just as nice as anywhere else.
I know, it's true. I mean, you look at some of the pictures from the magazine. It's just stunning. This place is amazing. Thank you.
All right, thank you. See, we should be getting some money here from the Illinois State Board of Tourism.
That's right.
Talking up the state of Illinois. Our guests this morning in this hour, Mike Jeffords and Susan Post. And we'll talk some more about appreciating the natural beauty of Illinois in just a second here. We want to also talk about appreciating the natural beauty of Pledge. And speaking of natural beauties, Heather Miller is here with me in the studio. She's one of our core Pledge staff, and she's here to help me to encourage people to be financial supporters of the station. Here, we're this fall, we are encouraging people to call or go online and make a pledge. And what that means is give us some money. It's the money that we will use to do the programming here, the stuff that we do, and the program that comes from National Public Radio. You know, there's a price tag for all of that. And what you're doing with your pledge is helping to pay just a little piece of that price. And if we get as many people as we possibly can, if everybody who listens gave us a little bit of money, we'd be in great shape. But that's what we're all about here. You can call. You can go online. And we also want to make sure that we tell people that we have been working on a challenge this morning, and how are we doing?
We are doing very, very well. We just need one more call. Just one more call to 217-244-9455 and support the programs like Focus and Afternoon Magazine, where you're not just a listener, you're a participant. opportunities like that are here on WILL because you support them. And so we're encouraging you now to take a little hike, maybe not through the tall grass, just across your living room carpet, to your phone and make that call to 217-244-9455 and make your pledge. And when you make a pledge of $60, we have a beautiful WILL stainless steel travel mug that you can take with you. When you hike, fill it with a hot or cold beverage of your choice. Take off on your hike. Enjoy scenic Illinois. Enjoy your drink. And know that you're enjoying supporting the station that you count on.
Yeah.
So for all of that, $60, it's a wonderful thing to do. I'm enjoying today and the interview. I'm sure you are, too, because you're listening. Please take a moment and share the joy. Support the station. 217-244-9455.
All right. Now, let me just to confuse you, I'll give you another telephone number, and that's the number to call in on this show. That's 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. And if you'd like to call in here, we're talking about places that you can go in the state to appreciate its natural beauty and some of the unique features of the Illinois environment. Susan Post is with us. She is a retired research scientist at the Illinois Natural History Survey. She's also a photographer, freelance writer. She's on the staff of Illinois Steward magazine. She is the author of the book Hiking Illinois, which is now in its second edition. It is published by Human Kinetics. And if you're looking for suggestions on places to go to hike, this is a great book. It's organized according to the section of the state and has some commentary on the various places. And there are maps of the trails just to kind of show you what to expect. So that would be a great thing to look at if you want to go hiking. And then if you're just interested in trying to appreciate and get a better understanding of the Illinois environment, you might also take a look at the book Illinois Wilds that she co-authored with Mike Jeffords and Ken Robertson. Michael Jeffords, he's retired education outreach director for the Illinois Natural History Survey. He's an entomologist, freelance photographer, writer, educator. He's also the staff photographer for the Illinois Steward magazine and is co-author of this book. So questions, comments, welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. I started out just talking a little bit about prairie, asking questions about prairie, just because I said yesterday we're talking with Dan McCollum about local history. So we talked a little bit about prairie. And tell me about the prairie grove. And this is also a thing that sort of goes hand in hand with prairie because people couldn't really live on the prairie. But these were the places when they saw these places, they thought, okay, this is where we're going to go and where we're going to live.
Let's use Champaign County as an example. It was 95% tall grass prairie of various forms, and then 5% was forested. And if you look at a pre-settlement map of about 1820, before about the time Europeans came, you can see these little islands of trees in it. And if you look at the topography and you look at where the islands are, they're on the lee side of streams and rivers, and they're in wetlands. So what that means is after the glaciers, Illinois went through a whole succession of landscapes, ending with basically a forest. And about 7,000 years ago, the climate changed, and it's called the hypsothermal interval. Warm, we had global warming then too.
Yeah.
Climate changed, and about the same time, Native Americans came into this area of the world, and because of the landscape, the land dried, and periodic fires began to be prominent on the landscape. And if you look at the pre-settlement map of Champaign County, you can tell which direction the fires came from by looking at where these trees left, because trees and fire don't necessarily match. So the fire selected out where the landscape changed, and what it evolved into was tall grass prairie in a space of about 2,000 years. And wherever the landscape was protected from fire, those prairie groves are remnants of that post-glacial forest.
So what was it about the prairie grove that made it resistant to fire and those certain species took hold?
Well, one, it was protected by the wet areas, and two, the fires actually selected out, most of them ended up being oak hickory, and oak and hickory are fire-tolerant, fire-resistant. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when it was really wet, you know, the maples and the ashes and the elms and those things could persist also. But it basically selected out an oak hickory forest. In some places, the fires went through and left some of the oak trees. We call those savannas. And humans, when the first settlers came, the Europeans came, they loved living in savannas because it's park-like. Well, who would want to live in a park? Right? And the other thing is, you got to remember, these were European peoples, pale-skinned, forest-dwelling, and they settled in the eastern United States, came through 1,000 miles of forest, and all of a sudden you're stuck out here in the open where you can't see, you know. So they didn't really like living out on the prairie. And because there were no trees, Alan Wakeling made the assumption, not fertile.
Yeah.
So initially they would cut the trees down, dig up the stumps, and try to farm that before they figured out, well, man, the best soil on earth is
actually it's the other
under, thing. And the other way. Yeah. And they had to deal with the wetness, too.
Yeah.
If you read some of the early writings of Grandma Patton about trying to get around in Champaign County with her wagon, you know, she was always stuck in the mud.
Well, and there, I'm sure you can find also some really interesting accounts of that and also photographs of what it is that they did to try to get it dried out.
Yeah, there was an article in the Steward, I think it was it by Bruce Hannon.
Bruce Hannon.
Called Dancing on the Dredges.
Yeah. It was about memories of his mother and
grandmother,
and their memories of when the dredging came and when they drained Champaign County.
So the steam dredges, you know, and then every Saturday or Friday night you would have dances on these big dredges as they walked across the landscape, making this suitable for agriculture.
So now, where can you go? There are still some of these characteristic prairie groves still. Can you still go and see that?
Oh, yeah. Northeast Urbana is sitting in one. Trulease Woods, Brownfield Woods, and
Funk's Grove in McLean County is one that has they have a mm-hmm. visitor center, and they have mm-hmm. some trails there. So that's a nice one.
I was trying to think of some others.
Most of them are relatively small.
Yeah, most of the islands on the landscape as you drive across Illinois that have relatively big trees in them are remnants of these. Of these prairie groves, and most of them are in private ownership. But the only really, really visible one, I think, is Funk's. It's pretty much intact.
We have some other callers. Let's talk with somebody here in Belgium. Line 4. Hello.
Hello, and good morning to you all. Mm-hmm. Busey Woods is another one of those groves.
Right. Yeah, that's Northeast Urbana. Yeah.
I guess that's right.
That's right for us here. That's like right in the backyard.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I wanted to point out that there, over here in Vermilion County, we have a lot of small conservation areas.
Mm-hmm.
There's one kind of northeast of Danville. And, we've got a real nice bird sanctuary on the north side of Danville, which is wetlands, which is Heron Park, which is...
Right.
All it is just a boardwalk, but it's got a lot of real nice bird watching and stuff like that. But this other little spot, I think it's called Jordan Creek. And I don't know that anybody ever uses it.
No? Well, our scientists have, because we had scientists working on Jordan Creek for many, many years doing
fisheries
and fish research there.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those accessible places.
Yeah, it's real hard to get to, hard to find.
That's probably why it's still as good as it is.
Probably. Also, I wanted to point out, and I'm sure you folks are very well aware of it. But if you happen to fly over, like Vermilion County and Champaign County, and you look at the Danville and you look at Champaign Urbana, if you look at Danville from the air, it looks like a woods. It's just amazing because we have so many trees over here because we were a wooded area. We were the very western edge of the eastern deciduous forest that essentially stopped at the Wabash River and became the tall prairie just immediately west of Danville. And there's a lot of history about the prairie fires and the wood fires that came across here. But if you look at Champaign now, if you fly over Champaign from the top, all you see is rooftops. Because you don't have near as many trees there.
No.
And you can see the striking difference. Just
actually, they're in two different natural divisions. I don't know if you heard the earlier spiel about, you know, Illinois biomes.
Mm-hmm.
Vermilion County is a northern limit of the what's called the Wabash Border Division.
Yeah.
which is basically the top head of the forest of the Wabash, and it is the edge of the eastern deciduous forest. And within the space of 2 miles, it changed to the Grand Prairie region.
Yeah.
So the fires did stop there. So you've noticed something that is a biological reality, and that these are two different biomes.
In Dan Beckwith's book that he wrote back in the late 1890s or something, he did a lot of history of Danville back when it was still pretty new and fresh. As a matter of fact, I think it was his grandfather Danville was named for, Dan Beckwith. And he talks about the prairie fires as they came across both from Champaign County on into Vermilion County. And they were massive displays of fire, like you cannot believe. They'd go on for days, and they'd blow across. And the way they did in Champaign County, they dredged the county to get it dry and stuff. Well, in Danville, we're just tall enough that we're a lot drier. And how they did there to stop the fires is the farmer would put his house in, and then he'd put a barbed wire fence around it and let his cattle eat all the grass. And then he'd put the fence farther out and let the cattle eat the grass so he could protect his house from the fire.
That's pretty clever.
Yes, it was pretty clever. And it was just an amazing thing how it changes so much right here on the very edge of Illinois. And I hate to bring in Indiana in this Illinois conversation, but the Wabash area right along the border has some fabulous nature areas, too.
Mm-hmm. Actually, just southeast of Danville, you have a representative of what the area was like in pre-settlement times. It's called the Russell Duffin Preserve, and it's in Forest Glen.
Yes.
And it is a old-growth remnant of the forest of the Wabash and eastern deciduous forest. So if you want to, and that is some pretty rugged hiking.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think that's called the Deep Woods Trail.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. We actually took a film crew there from WIL once, and the gentleman carrying the camera was... Let's just say he'd earned his money by the end of the day.
The unfortunate thing about that particular little woods, there was a nasty storm that came through about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago and really knocked down some of the big trees.
That's the problem with fragmented, tiny natural areas is any disturbance is massive.
Yes, it is. But it's still very pretty, but it's not quite as attractive as it used to be.
Yeah, it'll come back.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Well, not to take any more time.
All right, thanks for the call. Others are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. We're talking about Illinois and appreciating its natural beauty with Michael Jeffords and Susan Post. Susan is author of the book Hiking Illinois. It's now in its second edition. It is published by Human Kinetics Publisher. Someone called in and said, where can I get this book? I'm assuming in local bookstores it should be available.
Local bookstores, and also Champagne Surplus has the supply, the local outdoor outfitter.
All right. Very good. And also I want to mention this. Is this book still in print, Illinois?
It just went out of print.
That's a shame because it's a really... It's a really beautiful book with text and photographs by Mike and Susan and Kenneth Robertson. And this, I guess it must have been, did it come out in 1995?
95.
I have a copy here. It's from the library, but y'all autographed it. So that's how I know it's 1995. and it has some really, really nice photos in it. That's a shame that's not in print anymore.
So...
We just bought the last 24 copies, so there are 24 copies still in existence.
All right. I want to make sure that I ask someone that was listening and wanted to know what you could say about places that they could go that would be wheelchair accessible. They're apparently here locally in Champaign but they would be willing to do some traveling, but what can you say about that?
Actually, the Russell Duffin Preserve I just mentioned has a wheelchair accessible
A small trail.
Trail that goes right to the edge of the ravines and bluffs, you know, and it's flat and it's very, very accessible.
Goose Lake Prairie, they are trying to make that more.
Well, there's a wheelchair accessible trail.
There's a handicap accessible trail. It's on like a gravel chip.
Yeah.
A lot of the trails that we did up in Lake County were paved. And one of them called Rollins Savannah, it's a 6-mile trail through this old restored savanna, and it was totally paved. So you've got these huge oak trees, and there's a lot of birds that you can see there, and that was a nice one. So you just have to look around. And
Ballard Nature Center is pretty much wheelchair accessible, too. They've got miles of trails that are mostly flat and paved. So
there's lots of options. Do many of these places now that have their own websites so that you can then go and and get you look at that and it will show you the map of the trails and maybe give you some other information about the facilities and what they have there so that you can kind of get a sense of, say they can get your book, but they can also, people can get a sense of what's available there,
and you know, any cautions, is such and such trail closed at this time? Is it, and you have to be careful right now because it's hunting season. And so some of these trails are closed during hunting season.
Or you should wear orange.
You should wear orange.
Yeah. All right.
No brown coat and white gloves.
No cami.
No.
All right. Let's talk with someone in Champaign. This is line number one. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I just thought I'd point out something. I'm actually Grandma Patton's great-great-grandson.
Ooh.
And we have the Grandma Patton Woods near Paxson. That's one of the last natural progression forests, I believe, in the state. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I would encourage people to go out there. They have a nice little trail that you can follow. It's, you know, several acres, and it's just a nice little getaway if anybody's interested.
For spring wildflowers, it's one of the better areas in central Illinois, too. And is Parkland College still managed?
I believe they do.
I think they do.
So I know when we finally sold the family farm a long time ago, we decided that we really didn't want this area to be developed since it's so unique. So we went ahead and donated that acreage, and you know, most of the family is very happy that we did.
Well, thanks.
Thanks
for calling and telling us about it.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed the program.
All right. We appreciate it. We're coming up to the point now where, you know, it's going to get colder and colder. And for people to go out hiking, they're going to have to be fairly hardy. But there's really, I'm sure, a lot of places where in the wintertime you want to get out and walk, you can still do that.
Well, one of the better hikes that I like is at Matheson State Park. And we usually do that in the winter because Matheson has sandstone escarpments, and there's waterfalls. Those waterfalls freeze, and so you have ice falls. Matheson is adjacent to Starved Rock. Starved Rock gets a lot of visitation, and Matheson doesn't, and so it's just not as crowded. And you can also cross-country ski there.
Another place, if you want to see something spectacular, you go to Ferncliff State Park in the winter after it's rained for about 3 or 4 days and then gotten cold. It's amazing.
So everything is being encased in
everything
ice.
Is encased in stalactites of ice and I mean, it's a wonderful place, you know, and it's not easy because it's pretty treacherous. But it's, if you want to see it, that's the time to go. You got to keep your eye on the weather. But
I know there are places where people like to hike in the snow, and I guess if you got snowshoes, you can do that. I suppose in here in Illinois, you really have to worry that much about snow, but I'm sure you'll be ready for cold.
In the Galena area,
and you got to be careful of ice,
which is gonna
maybe make your footing a little bit more treacherous. So
yes.
You
got
to be really careful.
There aren't many trails in Illinois that are snowshoe friendly. No. They're kind of narrow, and the ones that you would really want to hike on in the snow are pretty tough.
Anything else in particular that you would say about winter hiking or hiking in cooler weather? Just that, other than you got to be prepared for it.
Right. We always dress in layers. Other than that, that's about it. We always take our cameras out. So
the first edition of the hiking, we hiked most of it in the winter because that's when the logistics of the contract.
Well, you had to do it.
I got the contract in October.
So there was a lot of extrapolation from Sue's notes on, you know, what you were seeing. But it was, we went places we wouldn't normally have gone in the winter. A Goose Lake Prairie in the winter is wonderful if you can stand the wind and the, you know, it's exposed, but it's a spectacular landscape in the winter.
So here, we're not coming down to, we have a couple minutes left. Oh, and we have another caller. So I think I was going to babble on for a while more, but instead we'll talk to somebody in Pasotum. Line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I like your program. I grew up in Bureau County, and I was wondering if you guys had went to Johnson, I think it's Johnson Sauk Trail Park, and also there's the Hennepin Canal.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been up there for years, and there's some other park by Buda, Illinois, that's it was recovered strip mine land, and I can't think of the name of it, but if you could comment on any of those, please, and once again, really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
We haven't been on the Sauk Trail. We've been at Hennepin.
Yeah.
And they've recently done a huge wetland restoration up there, which is we did a kayak trail there, bird observations, and we led a wildflower hike along there. So I'm not familiar with Buda, though.
No, me either.
No.
Okay. No.
That's a new place to check out, though.
Make a note of that. I'm sure there are places that you haven't. Are there places that you haven't been? Do you have a list of places you haven't yet been that you're still wanting to go?
Yeah.
There's a lot in West Central Illinois because they're really small, and we've not been to a lot of them. We've been to, you know, several, but it's a big state.
Yeah.
And there are right now there are about 1,800 natural areas in Illinois. Most of which are not preserves and so forth. So visiting them all is interesting. Mm-hmm. Next year, since we're retired now, we may do a North with the Spring sort of thing in Illinois and see what we can find, go places we haven't been.
So just real quick here, for just within Champaign County,
mm-hmm.
Somebody wants to go out it may be raining this weekend. So the next good day they want to go out, where would you suggest they go?
Well, we usually go to one of the preserves in Vermilion County. So we utilize the Vermilion County Conservation Area quite a bit. Forest Glen, Kennecuck.
Lodge Park is a very nice hiking park. It's over in north of Monticello, Piatt County. It's just across the border.
Okay. But, so that only should be about 30 miles?
Yeah, 25, 30.
Give or take? 18,
no, you can make 18 miles from Lodge Park. No problem. You can walk over there and
pretty
then
close.
Hike.
Yeah. Okay. And then Vermilion County, definitely nearby,
mm-hmm.
Would be a place to think about as well. We have it was the only wild and scenic
river
in Illinois.
Fork.
The Middle
right.
Fork.
And there are lots of hikes that go to it, along it, around it, you know, even in the winter, summer, you can even hike through it if you want to, you know, just put on some boots or tennis shoes and walk up it.
Okay.
There's some new Champaign County, the Forest Preserve District of Champaign County has purchased a couple new pieces of property that we haven't had a really chance to explore and hike. So those are some of those on our to-do list.
North of Mahomet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, if you're looking for suggestions on places to hike in the state of Illinois, here's the book to look for, Hiking Illinois, by our guest, Susan Post. It's in the second edition, and it's published by Human Kinetics and should be available at the local publishers or local bookstores. It should not be hard to find. It's a paperback book. You could even take it with you.
Right. The first edition, they had perforated pages, so you could actually
tear them out.
Tear out the pages and take them with you, but then they decided to do away with that. I think because people might have been losing
them. They were losing their pages. Yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah, I would lose the pages. Well, anyway, so go out and look for the book. Our guests, Michael Jeffords and Susan Post, both of them retired from the Illinois Natural History Survey. Mike Jeffords is an entomologist, writer, photographer. He's staff photographer for the Illinois Steward magazine. And Susan is also a photographer and freelance writer and is on the staff there at Illinois Steward magazine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it. We're here now for a couple minutes, just a couple minutes more, to remind people about supporting the station. Heather Miller is here to help me do that. And where we stand now?
We, thank goodness, haven't had to hike that far to get our pledges, although it certainly sounds beautiful. And I'm very excited with an eye to looking for new places around Illinois myself. But we have had 23 calls and web pledges of support for programs like Focus, like Hiking in Illinois, here this morning. And that is very gratifying because, A, I think it's a terrific topic and it's a wonderful service. I appreciate it myself. And I'm so pleased to know that so many of my fellow Central Illinoisans appreciate it as well. But there's still a couple of minutes more. You can pile on, as it were, at 217-244-9455. Support the station that brings you a terrific program like this.
Well, we try to cover a lot of different things. Just recently we've done, for example, programs about the music of Bob Dylan and the movies of the Marx Brothers. We've talked about how memory works and what we can learn about human nature by studying our closest animal relatives. We talked about the Tea Party in American politics, presidential politics in Brazil, the history of coal mining in southern Illinois, the future of the U.S. Postal Service, plus some of our regular how-tos, care of companion animals, cooking, nutrition, home maintenance, computers, family medicine, lawn and garden care, and money management, and that's all just been in the last 3 weeks. And Lord willing and the creek don't rise, next year we'll celebrate our 30th anniversary.
Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
30 years of focus, and I think the record's pretty good. We've done a lot of interesting things. People say that they like the show, that they've learned stuff, that they find it entertaining and fun. I hope so. But I hope that people also will realize, you know, it does cost money to do programs like this, and it costs money for us to keep All Things Considered and Morning Edition and Fresh Air and all of the programs that you expect to be on your public radio station. Well, this is your public radio station. People have a real sense of ownership, and that's good. We appreciate that. But I hope that going along with that sense of ownership is the sense of responsibility that says, oh, yeah, I got to help pay for this. And now it's one of those times we ask, you know, don't ask, don't get. So we're asking.
244-9455 to make your pledge of support for Focus and for all the programs that you enjoy and appreciate on WILL, or if you are listening online and find it convenient, willpledge.org, a quick and painless way to make your contribution. Maybe like me, you're an employee of the University of Illinois, and payroll deduction, what a simple May to make a gift. It's secure, it's safe, you don't have to worry about it. If you mark that box continuous, then your support is guaranteed and you don't have to give it another thought. You can sit back and have your cake and hike it off too, just like we did today.
All right. The number again is 244-9455. You can call us and make your pledge. You can go online, willpledge.org. One way or another, we hope that you'll do it. We try to keep these fundraising extravaganzas as short as possible. We'll be here for a bit over the weekend, then Monday, and then we're done for radio for this fall. But we need to raise
$175,000 by that Monday. So to keep these short and to keep them effective, we need your participation. And we would like to have that now. 244-9455 or willpledge.org.